Thank you, Sister Melissa, for that beautiful special. And again, I believe this is the first time I get to introduce my brother here. And just a quick comment in regards to that. I was blessed to be a part and to witness his calling into the ministry along with Brother Stephen and Brother Jose. And it was a special day. And it's always a wonderful blessing to be able to witness people grow and develop in the church and their activities and their roles. And I see that Aaron is very active and cares very much about, you know, his servitude towards the Lord. And I'm grateful to be able to introduce him this day and to be able to listen in and to hear the message that the Lord put on his heart. And I would pray that each and every one of you, those that are live streaming too, to be able to give your kind attention to him and to take those things that he presents to us and apply them to our lives. So with that, I'd be more than honored to present our brother and our priest, Aaron Moser.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate your kind words. Greetings to you all. I know there's a little switch this morning. I was supposed to preach this evening, but as most of you know, my sister's in labor this morning. So if you think about it, please send a prayer her way. I know she would really appreciate it. So we'll be probably leaving later on to go greet a new member of the family. So I wanted to come in and get my sermon out this morning. So thank my Uncle Ken for giving up his spot. Appreciate that. Allows me to get all the first scriptures of the day, so he doesn't steal any of mine, and this is always appreciated. I don't have to sit there and listen to him preach my sermon. It's always a danger when you preach in the afternoon, so I get to avoid that today. So, but I don't really have a Christmas sermon for you today, but I titled my sermon, you know, The Opportunity to Speak. And so, you know, we're in the season now, and the season is gives us an occasion to witness to our faith. You know, Christmas, you know, the name Christ is in it. You know, we can show parts of our faith. You know, we can, in simple things like giving out Christmas cards, you know, with a nativity scene on it or something of that nature. You know, and oftentimes you have opportunities with strangers, you know, other people who may have share some form of Christianity that we can share faith with, and we can talk about our faith with others that we might not normally get to the rest of the year. So there's opportunities to talk to other people and opportunities to display our faith. You know, and sometimes it can be kind of hard to share, you know, especially if we haven't really done it before. For a lot of people, it can be kind of nerve-wracking, you know, getting up in front of someone else and because you're kind of putting yourself out there. It's something that's, you know, near and dear to your heart. And when you put something out there, it's, you know, there's always a little bit of risk that it may not be receptive, that they might not be receptive to what you have to say. And so it can be a little nerve-wracking in some ways. And so, you know, your body might start to flush in your face, you get sweaty hands, you know, nervous and stuttering and stammering. Those things happen, you know. But it's largely due to the fact that, you know, our mind is telling our body, hey, we haven't done this before. This is new, or this is, you know, something we're not comfortable with. And so we need a place where we can study, you know, we can study at home, we can study our scriptures, and the more we get to know the material, the easier it gets to talk about. We need to have a safe environment where we can come in and talk about these things. We have Sunday school this morning. It's an open forum, you know, where we can come and talk. And it's a safe environment here. You know, everyone here has like faith and like attitudes, by and large, and so, you know, it's a place where we can come and practice. Oftentimes, I'll take a Sunday school. My brother Stephen will be out of town for some reason for his business practices, and so he has to leave, and he'll ask me to take over. Many of you, you know, may dread that when I come and I take over a Sunday school, because I like to pass the mic, as I like to call it. I'll get a little baggie of scriptures or subjects, and I'll cut them all up in the morning, and I'll bring that with me, and then I'll come here, and I expect you to speak. And that's a practice session, you know. That's what my goal is to get you guys a little practice, so in case something comes up later on, you've got something to go to. And so I try to give you those opportunities, so in a safe place, in a safe environment, where we can all speak on our faith. it's challenging for some of you, you know. Most of you participate, which I greatly appreciate. Well, a few don't. You know, I see the bag pass, and they get the bag, they give me a dirty look, and it gets passed on, and I'll see the bag be passed around. I'll see someone, all of a sudden, they got to get up and go check something in the kitchen, and then same thing in the microphone, it comes around, they got to get up and go to the bathroom, and then dodge it, you know, but that's all right, you know. You're free to participate as you desire, so. But, you know, there's a reason why I do that. There's a reason why I was inspired to do that. So, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about that, why, how that came to be. You know, when I was 18 years old, I got a job as a police assistant for the Phoenix Police Department. I began working there at a young age. So, had a lot of different roles in that job, and one of the roles I was asked to do was to be cover to the front desk. You know, when the desk aide was gone, I'd cover the front desk. And so, and oftentimes, you know, in law enforcement especially, you have something called light duty. And so there's officers that, whether they get hurt on the job or hurt off the job, they can no longer perform the duties of police officer. And so they'll have to come in and do light duty. So they will sit at the desk next to me so they can be at work and they can get paid, but they can't actually be actively out doing their law enforcement job. So they'll have to work light duty. Well, I got to sit there with an officer. His name was Pat. And he'd been diagnosed with cancer. And so he was on light duty. He was receiving treatments. And so these treatments, you know, of course, cancer treatments could be, you know, pretty taxing on the body. So he was there with me. So developed a friendship with this officer, Pat. And so we got to talking, and while he was there, and I was wanting to become involved in law enforcement, so it was good to sit there and talk with someone. And we developed a friendship. So one day, I saw Pat. He was sitting there, and he had a performance evaluation. Anyone that works in government or a large company, you know, usually you get a yearly performance evaluation. And more often than not, there's a section in there for once they give it to you, you can make a comment if you'd like. And he was writing down comments in the comments section. And I thought that was kind of odd because, you know, when I first time it was presented to me, officers told me, don't worry about it. Don't write no comment, you're fine. It doesn't change anything. So, you know, the performance eval is the performance eval, and no matter what you write, you know, they're not going to change it. So I was all right, no comment. I pass it back to my supervisor, and on I would go. So I asked him about this, you know, because I didn't really take it seriously, the comment section. I was like, well, what are you doing? Because I hadn't seen anyone else do that before. You know, and he told me something, and I remember it to this day. And he says, you know, if you're given the opportunity to speak, you should do it. It's like, okay. You know, again, my thinking was, well, it's not going to change anything. And I took the easy path, you know, and no comment for me. You know. But because that's what the view of most was. It was the easy way to do it. And didn't have to worry about coming up with anything to say because that was easy. So I went along my merry way. But I remembered that. You know, as time went by, unfortunately, Officer Pat, he succumbed to his cancer. And he passed away. So that was the first police officer funeral that I ever attended was Pat. And so he was, it was hard, you know, first one I ever hit, because we'd made a friendship. He was the first officer that I really kind of struck up a friendship with. And so, you know, I went to his funeral. I went to this little church where his funeral was at. And, of course, by and large, most of the precinct attended that because most people knew him. And so there was a presence from the police department there, and his sergeant was tasked with getting up and providing the eulogy. And so he began to deliver the eulogy for Pat. And in his eulogy, you know, the sergeant, he pulled up that eval. And he began to read the words that Pat had written on that eval. And in that eval, Pat thanked his sergeant. He thanked his peers for their support. He thanked the Phoenix Police Department for their help during his time of need. He was grateful for the opportunity to work. He vowed to work harder because he was given the opportunity. You know, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. He'd reached out, touched everyone there, you know, from the grave, because he'd taken the time to speak. He'd been given the opportunity. He took advantage of it. Because of that, you know, made an impression on an ignorant teenager sitting in there, helped steer his future actions, you know, went on and realized, you know, the importance of being able to speak, and that given the opportunity, you should do so. And so went to college and took classes on public speaking and on writing and furthering my, you know, abilities to be able to speak. And so it truly steered a portion of my life, you know. And so, as I said before, you know, it isn't easy to get up in front and speak to people, you know. But we're not called to easy. We're not called to comfortable. We're not called to be rewarded even in this life. You know, we're called to witness. We're called to witness to the people that we don't know, the people that we do know. We're called out to be a witness to those around us. You can find a scripture reference in 1 Peter. And in the book of Peter, as he's writing to a persecuted people. Their Christianity is still fairly young, and they're ostracized by the Jews and by those around them. And so he's writing to a people that are persecuted, people that are suffering for their faith. We can find in 1 Peter, in the second chapter, verse 9, this is what, as he's telling these persecuted people, you know, in verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Here we are. We're called out of darkness. We're called to be a light unto this world. Moving on in 1 Peter, go on to chapter 3, he continues and he expounds even more on what that light means. Chapter 3, beginning in the 8th verse. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if, ye suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will, for it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring to us God, being put to death for the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." So you can see that there was a persecution going on, and Peter's trying to call them, saying, that's no reason not to witness. It's no reason not to show your faith. It's no reason not to be a light. As Christ suffered and died, he set the example. He held up the standard. He held up the light. We are to do the same. Even if it means we're being persecuted, if they're speaking evil of us, we are to hold up our light. There are no promises necessarily for this mortal life, for us to receive reward for our Christianity. You know, there's a line of thinking out there in a lot of modern-day Christianity that, you know, God wants you to be rich, He wants you to be happy, He wants you to do all these things, and it's not, that's not what I read here, you know. It's through your trials that your faith is made known unto man. It's through the suffering that we may have to endure. It's through difficulty. That's where our faith is made known. And that's where we make the biggest witness of our God. It's through these turmoil. So it's not with promise of easy life or riches or health or anything of that nature. But it's a spiritual promise. We will have joy even in our unpleasant experiences that we may face, people accusing us of whatever it may be, you know, evil speaking of our ways. We still have the duty to witness to Christ. And so, speaking more on that end goal, you know, our goal is not in this life. The goal is not to be made high in this life. It's the next. If we turn over to Philippians, the third chapter. Let's see if I can find it. Philippians 3, I'm going to read 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the Lord, who grant unto us everything that we need for His purposes. I have another reading over in the Book of Mormon, illustrating that you know, God's protection over us. If we turn to Helaman in the fifth chapter. And in the book of Helaman, in the fifth chapter, we find in the beginning, Samuel Lamanite is at the beginning of the chapter. He's called. And God tells him to go and preach unto the Nephites. Because the Nephites have begun to fall away. And they're beginning to walk in their own ways, they're beginning to sin, and they are, you know, they're remaining in wickedness is what it says in the very beginning. And it says that the Lamanites were observing to keep the law of Moses. And they were holding fast to the faith at this point in time. This is just before Christ is to come. But so Samuel is told, you know, go and speak to those Nephites. And so he goes and he speaks and he preaches, he prophesies, and they turn him away. You know, they didn't hear him. So he began the journey home. And on his way home, the voice of the Lord came unto him and said, Return again and prophesy unto the people whatsoever things should come into your heart. You can imagine that must have been kind of hard, you know, having just been kicked out and barred from the city that you were in. But he left, or he returned, and he wasn't allowed in the way that he came, so he went to go a different way. He had to sneak around, you know, find another way in. He had to climb up onto a wall. And he began to prophesy. He prophesied that, you know, if he didn't turn from their ways, that these people would be destroyed. He prophesied of the return of Christ, told of his coming, gave the signs, of his coming. So I want to pick it up in where he concludes his witnessing and his prophesying and his warning, beginning in verse 109. And now it came to pass that there were many which heard the words of Samuel the Lamanite, which he spake upon the walls of the city. And as many as believed on his words went forth and sought for Nephi. When they had come forth, found him, they confessed unto him their sins, and denied not desiring that they might be baptized into the Lord. But as many as there were, which did not believe in the words of Samuel, were angry with him. And they cast stones at him upon the wall. And also many shot arrows at him as he stood upon the wall. But the Spirit of the Lord was with him, insomuch that they could not hit him with their stones, neither with their arrows. Now when they saw that they could not hit him, there were many more which did believe on his words, insomuch that they went away unto Nephi to be baptized. For behold, Nephi was baptizing, and prophesying, and preaching, crying repentance unto the people, showing signs and wonders, working miracles among the people, that they might know that the Christ must shortly come, telling them of things which must shortly come, that they might know and remember at the time of their coming that they had been made known unto them beforehand, to the intent that they might believe. Therefore, as many as believed on the words of Samuel went forth unto him to be baptized, for they came repenting and confessing their sins. But the more part of them did not believe in the words of Samuel. Therefore, when they saw that they could not hit him with their stones and their arrows, they cried out to their captain, saying, Take this fellow, bind him, for behold, he hath a devil. Because of the power of the devil which is in him, we cannot hit him with our stones and our arrows. Therefore, take him, bind him, and away with him. And they went forth to lay their hands on him. Behold, he did cast himself down from the wall, and did flee out of their lands, yea, even unto his own country, and began to preach and prophesy among his own people. So we see that Samuel, despite the danger that was there, he went and witnessed, did as the Lord asked him to do, and he was protected. Not only was he protected, souls were saved, and the power of God was shown forth among those people there, and to convincing of them of their own sin, convincing them of the words that he had spoken, convincing them that, you know, there was a better way, there was life somewhere else. And they knew where to go. They knew where to go. They went to Nephi. So it must have been there all along. They just needed something else, some other witness, some display of God's power. And God found that Samuel was the one to do that. Now it could be that one of us could do something the same. People are looking. They know where the truth is. They know what's going on. Some people do. And it may just need be that we need to speak to them. We have an opportunity with someone. It may be a coworker. It may be a family member. They just need that little extra miracle in their life to convince them to come, to repent, to be baptized and be saved. You never know what it could be. You know, just the other day, it was it was on a Sunday, and I'd gone to get some coffee afternoon. And I don't know, I was sitting there, I was dressed, you know, my tie and my shirt. And this gentleman sitting down in the coffee shop looked at me, and I could tell he had something, I'm not sure what it was, he had some kind of illness, I'm not sure what it was, but he kind of had a shake to him, and he looked at me and he goes, Are you going to work or something? I said, No, I just came from church. And it sparked up a discussion with him. And he engaged with me for a little while. I told him where our church was, you know, and then at the same time, you know, there were these two ladies over here. They looked at me. I think I had a third head or something coming out. They were just, they didn't know what to make of me. So there they were, you know. I could tell by their looks. They were, you know, thinking I was foolish, thinking we were foolish, and I was talking to this man. But, you know, there's the two parts. I don't know if anything will come to that. And his man lives just, you know, right over here somewhere, real close. He told me where he lived, and I said, Hey, our church is right over here. You know, I don't know if he'll come walking in one day, but got to witness. Got to let people know. You know, it's not our job to convince them. It's not our job to prove anything to them. It's just our job to witness. You know, our ultimate goal, entry into heaven. And our method for obtaining this goal is to witness unto each other. We're called to live this gospel. If we flip over into 3 Nephi, the fifth chapter. This is where Christ has come back. He's called his servants at this point. He's called his disciples. He's given power or given authority for them to preach repentance and to baptize. And then he lays out, the Sermon on the Mount here before the people. I'm just going to read the first few verses of that, if you'll bear with me. It's in 3 Nephi and 5th chapter, starting in verse 45. And behold, he stretched forth his hand to the multitude and cried unto them, saying, Blessed are ye, if ye shall give heed unto the words of these 12 which I have chosen from among you to minister unto you and be your servants. And unto them I have given power that they might baptize you with water. And after that ye are baptized with water, behold, I will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Therefore blessed are ye if ye shall believe in me and be baptized. After that ye have seen me and know that I am. And again, more blessed are they which believe in your words, because that ye shall testify they have seen me, that ye have seen me, and that ye know that I am. Yea, blessed are they which shall believe in your words, and come down in the depths of humility, and be baptized, for they shall be visited with fire, and with the Holy Ghost, and shall receive a remission of their sins. Yea, blessed are the poor in spirit which come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again, blessed are they, all they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are all they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are all the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are all they which are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For ye shall have great joy and be exceeding glad, for great shall your reward be in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the salt of the earth. But if the salt shall lose its savor, wherewith shall the earth be salted? The salt shall thenceforth be good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the light of this people. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Behold, do men light a candle, put it under a bushel? Nay, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Therefore, let your light so shine before this people that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we have opportunity all around us, and not only just to speak, but to mourn, to yearn after righteousness, to be merciful, pure in heart, to be a peacemaker, to be persecuted for his name. Well, these are all the ways in which we witness to others. These are all ways in which God is pleased with us. And he'll give us that blessing. It may not be in this life, but that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the blessing of the next life, the eternal reward. So let your light shine. Be a witness to those around you. You never know who it is you may make an impression on. You never know who it is may be listening. Could be those two women who are interested in my conversation. I don't know. They know where our church is too. So please witness to all those around you. Witness to each other. Please participate in my Sunday schools when I ask you to. I appreciate it. It's an opportunity. It's a practice run. So I hope today that I've been able to give you a good message and a good word. Pray for you all. Please remember my sister, she's in the hospital. I understand our brothers and sisters back in Missouri have a bad storm as well, that you would pray for them. I know that can be kind of dangerous. So thank you all for the opportunity to speak. appreciate your time. God bless you.